This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimut.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are AT&T confuses itself, Hurricane Dorian and mobile company response, feds, well, they've been scolding Tesla, and Twitter disables tweets by SMS. I want to welcome you to episode 1392 of the Geek News Central podcast for Wednesday, September 4th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. We're live once again at live.geeknewscentral.com and on Facebook. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm telling you, this is a new dealio here, getting everything dialed back in. But if you're a brand new listener, we're back live to doing the show online, stream live, normally Monday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, but special show today at Wednesday doing it. And if everyone is new, if you're new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website, get subscribed to the show via their Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. Really, there's multiple ways there to get subscribed to the show. While you're on the website, you can subscribe to the newsletter as well. And of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com or on your smart home device by you saying the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room. Our chat room is on the Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat or on Slack. So lots of ways to interact with the show here. And of course, if you want to join the chat room, you can do so at live.geek, for tonight's show, live.geeknewscentral.com, or just say hello in Facebook, which many of you already are doing so. It's a little punchy tonight. It's actually late. Had a very, very busy day. And getting the studio dial in has taken a lot more time than what's been expected here. Cameras still aren't the way I want to, but hey, we'll talk about that a little bit later. If you want to reach out to me and contact me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Facebook, on Twitter at Geek News. That's the best way to stay connected to me. Of course, partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. That's GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor by Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team, The New Media Show, over at newmediashow.com, Podcast Legends and Podcast Insider, which is a new one, podcastinsider.com. Of course, this show does have the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You too can save big money at GoDaddy. All you got to do, well, let me put up the right page. All you have to do is go, oh, how come that's not updating? All right, well, sometimes it works. Anyway, go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and pick up a domain name. $4.99 is for new or transferred for new customers, 30% off new product purchases. Of course, we got the $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And of course, we got the free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And of course, definitely check out all those codes again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I'll tell you what's happening here. And normally when I'm doing live, like I am right now, when I'm able to bring up a screen, it comes up almost instantly, but I got a little lag. For some reason, as I change the page, it isn't updating on the over NDI as fast as it should. So that's something to investigate here. It's all the little bugs to work out being in the new studio and getting everything set the way it should be. But, you know, that's part of the part of the dealio. Well, this is only the second time live, really. So I think it's full, things are fully expected to go sideways. And, but over the next, next month or so, we'll get the thing shook out, get back in the battle rhythm of actually pushing the buttons again, doing the flow of the show, having as much time off as I did just doing audio only. I was pretty spoiled, to be quite frank with you. So, you know, and it's even little things. Those of you watching the video, where to put the Geek News Central logo now is a problem because there's a different background. I don't have a big clear area to put it. So it has to go down on the bottom right. So what I've done really here in the studio since the last show is really no difference in lights, except I have a fill light that I put up in the corner because I had some shadows up there. And then everything else is pretty much positioned the same. I've got a monitor now in front of me instead of the laptop, so I got full access to the switcher. The cameras have been adjusted about a dozen times, and I'm still not exactly where I want them to be. Did some background updates, so there's a little more stuff in the background. You guys see the Red Bull sign back there. You got the Thor hammer that I picked up at Dragon Con and some other stuff coming. We got the clock running, the recording go live lights up, light bulbs replaced. But the angles are so different in this studio, and I still think maybe the cameras have to go back further. That may be the ultimate solution. But now the camera views are not bad, but what's really got me bugged is the way the microphone looks on the camera looks like it's offset. It doesn't look like it's straight on, and it's because the camera's not exactly straight on with me. It's offset by about 4 inches, so it causes a little bit of an optical illusion, but I can assure you I am talking directly straight into it, but it sure doesn't look like it on the camera. And then the other view, which that camera's not color balanced with the other ones, is a little bit different. So anyway, this thing will work itself out. You know, I had 700 episodes to get the other studio right. And yes, Tim, I know you're going to miss the sunshine coming through, blinding my eyes. I'm not going to miss that. And of course, everything else is just a work in progress here. But the audio from the studio sounds fantastic, of course, because of the Audimute panels in here. And definitely, again, if you want to have your studio or even your room or wherever you're doing your podcast sound conditioned, send me an email. We'll definitely get you connected with that team. So let me catch you up with what's going on. On Thursday of last week, I flew out to Dragon Con. I went down to Atlanta and was down there, oh my gosh, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and flew back on Monday, and had a really a great time. Was on 4 different panels. The energy in the air was crazy. Folks are very, very serious about their cosplay, a heavy duty party, and amazing outfits. One thing that's different about Dragon Con, and maybe it's this way for all of the like comic cons and so forth, is really the sessions. I'm used to kind of like this real structured pre-meetings, having a discussion about things we're going to talk about. But all there really is just track moderators, and then you just kind of talk, which is kind of cool, but it's really can go right or left or sideways. And the digital media track that we were on had changed. It was all only a podcast track the year before, but they intermixed a whole bunch of stuff, and Twitch seems to be like this hot thing that everyone's doing now in the Dragon Con, Comic Con storytelling space. You know, I know it's a place for gamers, but a lot of that's kind of related. So a lot of folks are on Twitch, and there are a lot of discussions about that. Of course, we're streaming live on Twitch tonight. The Twitch stream is back up and running. The only one I didn't get working was Mixer. So we're back up on Geek News Central on Facebook, regular page on Facebook, 2 accounts on Twitter, So I think we're 5 or 6 places we're streaming and everything's working. YouTube was complaining a little bit earlier, but that appears to be up and well. So other than that, I'm, you know, from the Dragon Con's perspective, so I got to learn a lot about Twitch. And it was pretty exhausting, though. Even though the sessions didn't start until 10, I was getting up, answering email, doing business stuff, went to the con, was there all day, and often didn't get back to the room until midnight. And I wasn't even really partying at all. I had a few drinks, but just a lot of discussions and wall-to-wall people. Definitely got to the vendor area, which was interesting in itself. It was basically, this is the first event I've ever went to where they actually, you could buy stuff. So I've got some stuff coming for the back of the room that I picked up. Some knickknacks here and there, some props. So you'll see that stuff trickle in here over the next couple of weeks. But other than that, flew back on Monday. Came straight to the studio, worked on it. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, today's Wednesday, obviously, worked all day. And then tomorrow morning, I head out for Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference in Atlantic City. So that's the reason I'm doing a Wednesday show. So we'll get out of here, and then I will be back Sunday about noon. And then Rob Greenlee and I are going to do a new media show on Sunday afternoon from the studio here. It'll be the first show, new media show, back in the studio. And that'll be great to be able to... we'll see what goes sideways there. I've done some Skype tests already with Mike Dell, but I'm sure something will have to be tweaked here or there. But otherwise, I think we're getting close to having everything dialed back in here. Now it's just my schedule. My schedule's crazy through the middle of October, as you would expect. But I'm looking for things to slow down. But when I'm here in Michigan, we'll be doing the show from the studio. And it's been a long time coming. I actually got the green screen dialed in today, yesterday as well. Actually, was that Monday? Anyway, got the camera set up, got the lights in, did some tests. Everything looks good, even though in the green screen room, there is two Audimute panels stacked on top of one another, and there's a little seam through it. And I was worried about that seam showing up in the key, and it doesn't. It's perfect. So that was very, very, very happy about that. I got a very strong green screen key. You would think so with what we've done there and the lights. I've had to keep dialing. I've actually had the lights too bright, so I've had to dial them back quite a little bit. That's been my biggest challenge, is basically having too much light on the scenes. And it just take a little while to get this thing dug through. So appreciate your patience. And we were audio for so long, and now we're back to doing video and audio. To the audio audience, says please, please just let me have audio only again. And I don't blame you, but a lot of fun here. Lots of things to forthcoming to do. One thing I do want to mention is that I have put together a new page for the new media show on Facebook. And we'll get a new picture for it. That's the old studio. We'll get a new picture for it on Sunday. But we've got a new page on Facebook, facebook.com/ the new media show. Someone else created new media show. It's a page that was abandoned many years ago. But so if you are a fan of the new media show, make sure you like that. I sent an invite to some of you out there. But we're going to try to continue. We've got about 8,000 podcasters that listen to that show. So we're going to try to build that community up a little bit on that website. So overall, second show back in the studio. What do you guys think about, how's the audio sound? Audio sound good? And matter of fact, Jack sent me an email and said, hey, do you even need the compressor? And I don't think so. So I'm probably going to put it on bypass on the next show. We'll see how that sounds in bypass. It's still in the loop, but I really don't think I need it. It's just absolutely dead silent here. No background, maybe a little air conditioning noise from time to time, but that's it. But overall, I'm just kind of wondering how you guys think it sounds. haven't done a lot of tweaking, but anyway, dialing her in. That's what it's all about. So hello, Dan. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Tim. Hello, Stephen. Welcome to the live show ever, Jim. So as a reminder too, so Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference this coming weekend, and then I'm going to be in Los Angeles Friday and Saturday of next week for Outlier. So there should be two shows next week, Monday and Thursday in the studio. I fly out Friday morning for LA and then come back on Sunday. If you want, if you're out in Los Angeles there and you want to go to the Outlier event, it's a podcasting event. Just Google Los Angeles Outlier, and then you can use the promo code Outlier and save 20% on your ticket to that. So I know a few people have said they've bought tickets because I'm going. They're going to join. So looking forward to seeing anyone that's going to be out in Los Angeles. So let's get into the stack. Let's get into the tech. It looks like my little bug earlier about the video staying behind is, at least for now, fix itself. But in the news, AT&T is confusing itself on its two online TV offerings. AT&T themselves forgot that AT&T TV and AT&T TV Now are different services. Why would you name something so close? Of course, you know, I've been accused of having some brand issues before too, but you know, this baffling decision to offer two separate streaming TV services with nearly identical names and deliver those two through one app definitely probably was a problem. AT&T eliminated its DirecTV Now brand and renamed that service to AT&T TV Now. AT&T also rolled out this completely new service and called it AT&T TV, the same name without Now, and those two services have different channels and different pricing schemes and offered, unfortunately, through the same app called AT&T TV. Now, you're confused. I'm confused. Well, AT&T itself could not keep track of the names of its own streaming services. It's AT&T is incorrectly telling its customers that the old DirecTV Now service is called AT&T TV. So, this is kind of crazy. It goes beyond the mobile app too. Most tech support for AT&T TV Now is labeled AT&T TV. So when you try to contact AT&T TV, now you need to use the contact information for AT&T TV. This has resulted in many folks confused about how to contact AT&T TV Now. I feel a name change coming. If you're confused, I am too. Best thing is just don't get AT&T service. That's the solution. I haven't even checked on what's going on with the hurricane. I know that it's moving its way up the coast. I haven't looked at the weather in 24 hours. I know people are being impacted. I think it's mostly offshore at this point. If someone can tell me in chat, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But it's just, I've been head down and not looking at the news at all. But U.S. carriers are helping to offset any outages because they've rolled out their response teams. So AT&T has teams in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and also Virginia, including staging of mobile sites, including some drone mounted cell sites as well. And AT&T has announced it's waiving fees for going on data for customers in the storm's path. Verizon has prepped what they call their wireless emergency communication centers. And these are tactical command trailers and response trailers in advance. And Verizon is also giving customers in the path of Dorian an unlimited service this week and also unlimited calls and text to the Bahamas for families trying to keep in touch. Boy, they got hammered. I remember going back to Typhoon Omar when I was living in Guam. And Typhoon Omar was simply devastating. It did a direct path over the top of Guam, but it just crawled. And we had like 30 hours of just getting beat. And it was a super typhoon, Cat 5. And same with this storm that went over Bahamas, Cat 5, and they got hammered longer. Now, I was without power for 36 days after Typhoon Omar. I had running water. That was the only thankful thing. I didn't have to go find a water truck someplace to get water. We actually had water, and the only reason we did is because we were on the same line, the same supply line that the hospital was, and that was the first line that they made sure was up and running. So I had water the entire time, but you know, you can, as long as you got water and briquettes for barbecue, and you can go a long time without electricity. But with Bahamas gotten hammered the way it has, they're going to have a long haul to recover. So, but moving on, T-Mobile is standing by with generators and network recovery equipment and community response trucks. Sprint is waiving overage fees for customers in Dorian's path as well. So there's all this information. And if you are in the path of this storm, then and you still have internet, the link will be up in the show notes on how to review this. But if you are, I hope you're safe and stay dry. The feds are scolding Tesla for slow response on driver monitoring. In 2017, the NTSB called steering wheel torque a poor surrogate for driver attention. And what I have found with my Ford Edge, it has lane centering feature, and it's, when it's on a good marked road, it's pretty remarkable. It really, really is. And it, and with adaptive cruise control, you know, I basically have went about 100 miles with just barely touching the steering wheel. The only problem with that I find is that I wish I didn't have to grip the steering wheel as hard, because about every 30 seconds, the car, if you're not gripping hard enough, the car says, hey, put firmer grip on the steering wheel. So I wish I could have a firmer grip, less grip on the Force Edge to basically know that my hands are still on. I don't think the Ford Edge does any eye tracking or anything like that, but it is pretty remarkable. I've learned the kind of quirks on it as well when it's driving and there's an exit ramp and there is no dotted line. Sometimes it'll start to pull the right because it thinks it needs to follow that exit ramp. And there's a couple other quirky things I've learned with it too. But boy, I'm telling you, on a expressway, it's really, really incredible. Now, driving back roads like I do here, for a while I had lane assist on, not lane centering, just lane assist, and it really got too annoying. And I had to turn it off when I'm driving back roads. But anytime I get on city, put all those automated systems online and it's good. But the NTSB, who published a preliminary report Tuesday about the January 2018 crash in Culver City, California, about a vehicle that hit a fire truck at 30 miles per hour. They basically said that the system had warned the driver a couple of times to putting his hand on the steering wheel, but yet the driver, even though he had the warnings and responded to those, the driver admitted he never saw the fire truck. He wasn't looking down. So the NTSB is really pushing towards the function where it's actually looking, they've got a camera watching your eyes, to making sure that you're actually looking down the road while at the same time having your hand on the steering wheel. I will admit that on a good open stretch of road, I can look away for a couple of seconds with no problem, feel pretty comfortable doing that on lane centering. It's not something that you want to get used to or abuse, and I don't feel that I could actually do a text, and I don't think I could type a text, but it sounds to me like that there's a lot of more eye off the road type of activity going on in Teslas. And my car doesn't even have what they really would consider to be an autopilot. That's not the case at all. But it's just this lane centering technology is pretty awesome. Now, when I'm in the, I think I've already talked about this, when I'm in the passing lane on the highway, it has a tendency to hug a little bit to the right, a little closer to the center lane than I'm used to. But I think it's because it's used to normally being in the right-hand lane and it pulls itself over from the center lane a little bit further. So it doesn't know it's in the other lane so it doesn't push itself to the left a little bit. So sometimes I kind of have to fight it a little bit when I'm going by a semi. So I guess it keeps you aware of what's going on. But there has been some adaption by keeping the track of the driver's eyes. Cadillac has what they call Super Cruise, and it uses the approach to monitor the driver's eyes. And I think this is really potentially where the future is going to be for all these vehicles to make sure that we're paying attention. Someday, we're going to get into a situation where these cars are going to get smart enough where that's not going to be such a big deal, but we're going to have a 10 or 15 year transition to get there until the vehicles get really, really good. Mike says in the chat, he says, I like the tech. I don't like that people eventually get used to not looking at the road. Seems just not the best activity when controlling a 4,000 pound projectile. I agree. You know, like I said, I'm not comfortable with it yet. I am comfortable to, if there's no traffic, if there's traffic, forget it. Even with adaptive cruise, there are times when people are braking ahead of me that I'm on the brake because I just don't trust adaptive cruise to slow me down, even though it gets right on it. And one thing I've noticed too about adaptive cruise, if you don't leave yourself enough space for the vehicle that just passed you to move into the left-hand lane, the vehicle will try to slow down because the spacing is too close. That it can, especially if you got someone coming and you're trying to sneak in, that is a little bit of an issue to me. It's caught me once. I was like, whoa, because I know the car behind me had to brake because the car, just my car, immediately tried to get that spacing right. And it over-responded. So it's just one of those things. It's when you're trying to do a lane change like that, turn cruise off and make your move if you're trying to jump in. And that's what I've been paying attention to. But yeah, Mike, I think you're right. I think on the tech, we're going to have to see where it goes over time. I think at some point, we're going to be able to sleep. But I think we're many, 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 many years away from that. Twitter's disabled tweeting via SMS after its CEO got hacked. So they've temporarily turned off the ability to tweet via text just days after the feature was misused by hackers to tweet a racial slur, bomb threat, and other crude messages from the account of Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. So this is, I didn't even know you could, I don't even remember that. So apparently allowing you to text a number such as 40404 and have that message posted to your account. I really didn't know that was possible, but what it is there's no, was no authentication and they hacked his caller ID. I had a call come in today that was from Hawaii. I thought that it was somebody that I knew. And when I answered it, it was a robocaller. So they're getting smarter on these, on the ability to trick you into answering your phone and also, in this case, sending out an SMS tweet. NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida got the all clear as Hurricane Dorian moved on. So what else is there? That's all they said. Data from their 250-foot tower clocked the top wind speed at 90 miles per hour. Well, that's still pretty significant. The closest approach Dorian's eye made to the Cape was 70 nautical miles. So still impressive. AT&T has been rated number one, Verizon number two when it comes to the best U.S. 4G network, a new report has found. Of course, I don't know who paid for this. In a report released Wednesday, mobile network evaluator Global Wireless Solutions found that AT&T was in fact the top 4G network in the United States, with Verizon coming in second, followed by T-Mobile and Sprint. The new nationwide survey tested the national carriers in 501 markets and in all 50 states, as well as Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands. And AT&T was found to be the fastest on downloads, had the most reliable data connection, and the best video streaming experience. Verizon was the fastest for uploads, while T-Mobile had the best call quality. I went into a family reunion a couple of weeks ago in a remote country area. And no one had a single bar. Everyone at the reunion, and this was a community center, which had Wi-Fi, but no posted Wi-Fi password. There was nothing. Verizon, for me, was no bars. And there was a couple of people there that had AT&T, no bars. T-Mobile, no bars. We were all shocked. No one had service whatsoever. I think that's, and this was in Indiana, about, excuse me for sniffing on you, about 40 minutes from my house here. So it shows you that there are places in rural America, DOA, dead on arrival, no signal. They should have rated it there. The 2020 Ford Police Interceptor utility hybrid is going to get a whopping 24 miles per gallon. Orders continue to grow for the hybrid police interceptor. So when it comes time for police departments across the U.S. to retire a fleet of patrol cars, they hope that they'll take a greener approach. And it's one of the reasons that the 2020 Interceptor comes with a standard hybrid engine. The automaker said on Wednesday that it received 2,600 orders for the police interceptor utility PIU hybrid. And of course, the vehicle is based on a 2020 Ford Explorer, but houses numerous differences, ensure it's ready for duty, unlike the civilian Explorer. The police interceptor comes with a standard 3.3 V6 hybrid engine. While departments can swap out the hybrid powertrain for a regular 3.3 liter V6 sans electrification or a more powerful twin turbo 3.0 liter V6, the hybrid makes up 17% of the orders so far and gets good gas mileage, 24 miles a gallon. That's pretty good. I'm averaging about 23 on the highway for my Edge. So I tell you one thing about my Edge. The only thing I don't like about it, the seats are not as comfortable as my Mazda CX-9. My only complaint is the seats aren't as comfy, not as soft and comfortable. They're more hard. And of course, I got the Sport Edition, so that's probably why the seats are a little stiffer. Laptops at the IFA 2019 are all about speed. And I'm looking here. The biggest amounts of high-end graphics work and up uber-fast gaming is an odd fit for the show dominated by Acer and Asus. And IFA is normally a very mainstream show known for announcements like world thinnest laptops. And while there are a lot of new releases for general-purpose laptops from commercial companies, Acer, Asus, and Dell, the majority fell into the ho-hum comet-like refresh category, existing designs incorporating Intel's less interesting 10th generation CPU. But the big debuts were for laptops targeting a much narrower crowd, highlighted by a raft of models with NVIDIA Quadro RTX workstation GPU chips for advanced graphics, gaming laptops with 300 megahertz refresh displays, which for the moment only seems to be needy by esports gamers. And IFA isn't the first show that pops into my head for either group here. But anyway, performance was the name of the game, and I'm sure at a very performing price. So if you're a heavy-duty gamer, some new machines out there for you. Tech giants in the United States, U.S. officials have met to discuss the 2020 election security. Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter preparing to fight disinformation campaign that is expected to rise in the upcoming U.S. presidential election. Yes, it's already... They're already like killing us, right? I'm like, please, I don't want to hear about presidential election stuff until about September of next year. Powerhouse technology companies, again, met with the U.S. officials. Who did they meet with? Did they say? Said Department of Homeland Security has been coordinating with state election officials on securing voting machines, while warning that disinformation campaigns are a major cause for concern. The FBI has been alerting Facebook when disinformation campaigns break out. But it doesn't say who they met with. They met with U.S. officials at Facebook's headquarters. Participants discussed their respective work, explored potential threats, and identified further steps to improve planning and coordination. said Nathaniel Leicher, Facebook's head of cybersecurity policy. Specifically, attendees talked about how industry and government could improve how we share information and coordinate our response to better detect and deter threats. I think they've got a big hill to climb on that. Computer World's reporting in top web browsers. Edge, yes, Edge, has edged up. Not the car Edge, the browser Edge. It's got a whopping 6.3%. This is a record for the browser, and it's since it's been introduced. During the last 6 months, Edge has added 1.6 points to its share, the equivalent of a 24% boost. The growth of Edge, however, did not translate into a similar size increase in the browser's portion of Windows 10 browsers because the operating system jumped up more than 2 percentage points. So interesting move there. Of course, Chrome is at 67.2. It dropped 1.4%. That's the same number at the start of 2019. And Firefox is hanging on, wrapping up the month at 8.4%. Boy, how far Firefox has fallen. The only time I use Firefox right now is I need Chrome to be on Periscope for Geek and Central, and I need Firefox to be on Periscope for New Media Show. That's how I get those two streams to work. I have to have two separate browsers to do it, or an incognito window. But that's the only time I use Firefox at this point. Hey, Mike. Hello. YouTube's going to pay $170 million to settle claims it violated child privacy laws. The FTC has alleged that YouTube violated the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. The settlement announced Wednesday was passed in a 3-2 vote by the commissioners along party lines. The two Democrats voted against it, saying it did not go far enough to punish YouTube. This is an ongoing, I think they already agreed about this amount some time ago. I think there was about a month that went by before they actually voted. So I must admit, $170 million, it's just rounding error for YouTube. But at least they had some impact. But they just write the check and move on, I'm sure. Facebook is saying that U.S. immigration agents cannot create fake accounts. It said the company will act on any violating accounts. So apparently U.S. authorities were planning to create fake account profiles that they could use to investigate foreigners seeking visas. The social network told the Associated Press that Homeland Security would be violating its rules. Of course, AP reported in late August that the agency removed its previous ban on creating fake social media profiles. It follows the country's decision to require visa applicants to provide their social media account names over the past 5 years. The U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, a division of Homeland Security, said creating fake identities will make it easier for investigators to look for signs of fraud or security issues when granting someone entry into the country. Facebook, though, said law enforcement authorities are, like everyone else, are required to use their real names on Facebook, and we make this policy clear. They got to find them first, I guess, right? But the feds are out snooping around looking at social media profiles. What's public is very easily allowed to be looked at. Google Photos. Anybody using that? Android users? Google Photos will let you order same day prints from Walmart or CVS. I have my photos go to the Apple iCloud and also Google Photos. I allow them to go both places. Don't know why, but I guess that's how I have it set up. So, again, Google has given its user option to create and buy physical photo books since 2017. And now you can go to Walmart or CVS to pick up 4x6-inch photo prints. I can't remember the last time I had any photos printed. That's a shame, too, because we have so much stuff that's digital. So many pictures are going to be lost. You know, the days of looking at photo albums is long. Long, long, long gone. Moving on here, give you guys a different camera view. Camera view one is now in the house. The latest Fire TV devices include a revamped Cube and Anchor soundbar. Amazon announced over more than 20 devices today at the IFA event. And of course, it's highlighted, it's been upgraded to the Fire TV Cube. That's the Media Hub and Smart Speaker Hybrid. It now packs a 6-core processor that's roughly twice as powerful as before, with support for 4K and Dolby Vision HDR content up to 60 frames per second. As I was digging through my stuff here, unpacking, and I'm still missing, well, you guys don't know it, I'm searching for Canon, my 60D Canon cameras, or 80D Canon batteries. I can't find them. All my other batteries are here, but I got like 8 or 9 of those 80D cameras. Those suckers are like $70 a piece, and I've only got one. I can't find the rest of them. It's driving me crazy. So if anybody's seen my 80D Canon batteries, let me know, because it's really going to suck to have to replace those. They're in some bag or some nook or cranny somewhere, but all the other batteries are here. I've even found batteries I didn't know I had as I went through stuff, but the Canon ones are MIA. But how that's related to what's going on with the Fire TV is I found my Apple TV. Today it came out of a box that I had not been in. I plugged that in and hooked it up and got the Wi-Fi set up. And it remarkably, it didn't need an update. So it's like a first or second generation Apple TV. So it's a little slow, but hey, it gets access to my movies. That's the cool part. And here in the studio or in the office, I have broadband. At the house, I don't. So if I want to watch movies, I can watch them here. That's kind of weird. All right, the FCC's offers another $950 million for broadband in Puerto Rico. It's hoping this will lead to 5G and fiber internet. And in the wakes of Hurricanes Irma and Maria, Chairman Ajit Pai has circulated a draft order that would offer another $950 million to storm harden to improve and expand broadband in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Not surprising, the FCC is pitching using the prospect of next-gen internet access as a lure. This would help deploy 5G and gigabit fiber to the terror. You know, get that fiber in the ground. Makes recovery easier. Let's get that fiber spread. Slack stock plunged today after posting its first earnings report since going public. So it plunged as much as 16%. Earnings was a loss of 14 cents per share, excluding certain items, versus 18 cents as expected. So they did better. They didn't lose as much money as they thought. They had revenue of $145 million versus $140.7 million. You know, I'm big Slack. We pay a pretty good Slack bill every month. Big Slack user. Love Slack. And you remember, if you're part of the Ohana here, you want to join the Slack channel, just send me an email. We have a Geek News Central Slack channel along with the Mastodon chat as well. But Slack's uptime, though, was impacted. A measure of how frequently service operating normally, it slipped below 99.9% in June. I never noticed it was down. Must be it was a time when I wasn't on. But yeah, there's a lot of competing services out there, but Slack's the bomb. Really, really like it. All right. Gonna surprise you guys, bring you back to a different view. Facebook's latest leak includes data on millions of users that contain phone numbers and usernames and genders and countries. A security researchers discovered a database containing more than 419 million records tied to Facebook accounts. Appears the data, which includes phone numbers and Facebook IDs, and in some cases, usernames, genders, and countries, was scraped from the platform. It's not clear who pulled that information from Facebook or why. The data set included 133 million users in the United States, 18 million in the UK, and 15 million users in Vietnam. Interesting. The researcher found the database on an exposed server that wasn't protected with a password. Oh. The data set is old and appears to have information obtained before they made changes last year to remove people's ability to find others using their phone numbers. So, anyway, another leak. Are we surprised? Nah. It's just the latest of many leaks. Hey, it's pretty cool here over on space.com. Astronauts are testing a retro space suit tech for mock Mars mission under the sea. So, looks pretty awesome. Astronauts just resurfaced from a trip to the bottom of the ocean where they tested this futuristic spaceship and submarine tech from August 21st to 28th. NASA astronaut and Japanese astronaut took part in a new NASA Extreme Environments missions operation off the coast of California. The mission tested the kinds of underwater training methods that might be best to use for training the next astronauts to land on the moon. So, pretty impressive. I bet you the way these suits look, you know, here's the question I have. How do you go to the bathroom in that thing? Or do they wire you up beforehand? That's the question. That really is the question. Apple's lower-cost iPhone SE will reportedly be resurrected in 2020. The company hopes to take away mid-range sales from Huawei and Samsung. I'm going to tell you, Samsung's got some pretty impressive phones right now. The new model is said to be similar to the 4.7-inch iPhone 8 released in 2017. When it launches next year, it will feature an LCD display and most of the same components as this year's flagship iPhones. Probably around $299 might be the price. I think this is a good rumor. We'll see where that leads. We talked about Firefox a little bit earlier. It's a good article over on Geek News Central talking about Firefox. Mozilla announced that Firefox 69 on desktop and Android will, by default, empower all users by blocking third-party tracking cookies and crypto miners. Mozilla calls this a major step in their multi-year effort to bring stronger usable privacy protections to everyone using Firefox. So this enhanced tracking protection will be automatically turned on worldwide as part of the standard setting in Firefox browser and will block known third-party tracking cookies according to the disconnect list. So that's a move by the folks over at Mozilla. Last couple of articles here. Amazon wants to test a new payment system that scans your hands. Now, when Amazon first launched, the company disrupted the retail market by being one of the first few companies to offer online shopping. Now, if they're looking to make a bigger impact, these Amazon Go stores is where it's going to happen next. We know they've been testing these. And they want to take on the payment industry as well. According to the New York Post, the claims the company is looking to test a hand scanning system that will eliminate the need to hand over cash or credit cards. The scanning system doesn't even require users to touch anything, where through the use of vision and depth geometry, it will apparently be able to identify the hands of the person and charge their purchases to their credit cards that are already linked on Amazon. Well, why not just take it from my checking account? So far, the system is said to be accurate within 0.1%, but apparently Amazon engineers are hoping to get it to an accuracy within 0.1%. Amazon has declined to comment on the report, only stating that they do comment on rumor or speculation. So very, very cool stuff here. I think that's going to bring me to the end. I think there was a comment that had come in. I hope I copied it to the right. Got to get the right email account. So Jack made some comments, and he said, "Hey, Todd, it was great to have you in new Cold Water studio." Cold Water's one word, Jack. "I agree with the issues you have identified, your positioning in the video and lighting. The studio construction looks great. I agree with your comment about moving the camera back a foot or two. The framing looks set up." Now, what I've done is I've moved the monitor back, Jack. It's back now on a new table about 2 feet. So it's further back. So that may have helped things a little bit here. He said the framing looks set up for content on Skype video screens behind you. That would be good for the new media show, but not so much for GNC. Moving the cameras back a bit would give you some more flexibility with the camera angles and framing. If background studio sound from others could be a problem, you could move the big red on-air sign to the hall in front of your studio. It's just, this is a prop. The on-air thing's a prop. It's really not there for anything else. No one else is in here. The door's locked. No one's coming in. And I knew camera one was out of focus. We fixed that and did get color balance. So hopefully that's better. Camera two, all that got, yeah, everything got white balanced and color balanced. It's better. Yes, the studio is dead quiet. And again, I don't think I'm going to need the compressor. The audio sounded like you have enhanced the lower frequencies. Again, I haven't tweaked that very much yet. He said your lower register tones were a bit muddy. It could be the compressor, some of the other audio enhancer. You might consider moving the microphone farther away and down of your face. The thing is, the way this mic is set up, I can probably get away with that a little bit. We'll have to see. Random observations. You've always been a one-man show, talent producer and engineer. As a result, you look off camera to the left and right, at least in the latest video. Maybe if you push the cameras back a couple of feet, you'll be, won't have to look so far. And really what's going on here is the spacing for the cameras is the same. The only difference is now the TriCaster view is over here. But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to put a monitor right in front of me. Got to figure out a way to get it mounted. So that way I can actually, when we're doing the new media show and when I want to check stuff here, I'll be able to look straight ahead instead of having to look to the side. And the chat room is on the left. So maybe I can do a split screen thing and actually see the chat room as well. So those are all things I'm thinking about here on improving the view in front of me. So I don't have to do so much right and left. I agree. But again, more time. I just need more time here to get things tweaked. Little by little, things will get dialed in. But I do appreciate your feedback. Again, not a super great amount of change except moving the monitor back considerably. Now, the edge of the monitor for the screen, if I move it a little bit closer to the wall, I don't think the aspect is as good. And plus, I kind of fall out of frame a little bit. So another thing, I had a lava lamp back here that is not doing the lava lamp thing. Of course, what do you get for $14.95? And let's see if you guys can see it. Gotta move the, it's just a blob at the bottom of the thing. It's been running for 24 hours. It's not doing anything. I think that one's faulty. Again, what do you expect for $14? But I was trying to get some more interactive stuff, and I did improve the back view a little bit. Stuff is a little bit bigger. It has to be bigger to be seen back there. So thus the Red Bull sign. Actually, it's a cap, and then some of the other stuff that's going on there. But so time will tell on how this all gets arranged little by little. And again, I'm a one-man show here. There's only so much I can do. You should have seen me trying to get the green screen stuff right. And I actually had to do an HDMI splitter because I had to put a monitor over in the green screen studio because I forgot I have to be in the view to do the green screen key and not being in the room. There was just no way to key it. So I had to put a splitter on, got that done. The mouse works over there, luckily. So I'm standing there with a trackball in my hand. Lots of little stupid things. When you're a one-man show, it'd be so much easier if I'm just standing there and had somebody in here and say, okay, key it. And they'd be able to key it. And then what's really the bigger problem in the green screen room is I need more depth. I can see I get a good waist up, but I really need the camera back about 4 more feet. It's just not possible. So most of the stuff in the green screen room will be waist up. I try a couple of different cameras to see if I can get a better view, but I only have what I have and I can't afford to go out and buy more cameras, but maybe I'll change one of these PTZs out and bring, who knows, we're maybe flipping cameras around a little bit and that might help the issue somewhat. It's just going to be trial and error here over the next couple of months. So let me talk about schedule, what's going on, just so everyone knows. So, this will be the only show this week. And then next week, we'll have a full schedule. We'll be on both the 9th and the 12th. I'll have, and then I go to LA, 13th, 14th, 15th. There'll be a show here on the 16th. Let's see, am I doing this right? There would be a show here on the 16th and not on the 19th. The 19th, I'll be back down in Columbus. And then there'll be two shows in Columbus. 19th and the 23rd, I'll be in Columbus. Then I'll be back here on the 26th for a show on the 26th. Here for 27, 28, 29, 30, and October 1. Those are all dates for the basically the International Podcast Day. I'm doing the podcast awards. We're doing a new media show, doing a couple of sessions. So lots of activity happening at the very end of the month. And then on October 1, then things are going to, my schedule's kind of way up in the air. Don't know exactly what's going on. I would expect more time down in Columbus, not in the studio here, probably for a week or two. We'll see where that goes, but really things aren't going to calm down until a steady, regular schedule here, probably to the middle of October. But that's what's going on. But hey, this is life. This is what we're doing. At least we are up and running and we're alive and well. The studio is kicking. But thanks everybody for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for being patient. And let me find my battle rhythm again here in the studio. It's quite late. I have to leave for the airport rather early. So I'm going to get off in here and get this show published. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. Again, your comments are most welcome. And we'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. And if I can do this right, let's see if I can actually bring the right graphic in. Wrong mouse. Let's see if we do this right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.